It's June, and I haven't turned on my AC yet. Things are cool because you're listening to the Pop-matic podcast. Actually, if you got to say you're cool, then you're not cool.
I mean, this is true.
You just got to be cool. But I'm Brian, and
I'm Bill.
I guess I'm Amanda.
Crystal.
I could be Mike.
Mike is here, and there is not someone named Allison hiding in the corner, too shy to be on the microphone. We should just maybe have a guest slot every month. It seems like we have a guest.
Surprise librarian visit,
yeah. So it's okay if you're a nerd and you're not cool. This is a pop culture-themed library podcast, so you're probably a proud nerd. If you're not a proud nerd, come out of the closet. It's okay. We love you at the library. It gets better, right? Maybe if you are a nerd, then you've heard of the Digital Public Library of America, which launched in April. We're going to tell you about that. But first, we're going to tell you about some fun things happening in the library in June. Bill, what's happening in the library in June?
I don't know.
The Nashville International Puppet Festival will be June 1st to June 23rd. And one of the things happening that day will be
a puppet parade. On Saturday, June 22nd, 9 a.m., start your day with a parade, complete with a band, floats, artists, musicians, dragons, and larger-than-life marionettes. Get up early. We're giving out international flags to the first 50 people who arrive at the parade. It starts in front of the main library at 9 a.m., and the Wanna Beatles will perform at the end of the parade. Catch them on the Church Street Park music stage, and that's directly across from the library.
That was a great improv. So that's just one of the things that's happening with the Puppet Festival. There's going to be events at TPAC. There's going to be events at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. There's going to be puppet troops from Germany, Japan, China, France, here in the United States. Our folks from Wishing Chair, it is so cool. This is the coolest thing that we've ever done. I say that every podcast. It just must get better every month. The library is just exponentially great. But NashvillePuppetFestival.com. I don't want to read you all the details to all these events, so NashvillePuppetFestival.com, you can go and get all the details.
Most of them are free, right?
Most of them are free. Some of those special ones that I hinted at, those you got to pay, but the money goes for a good cause. The reason I wanted to highlight the parade was because it's super awesome, and there's music and free stuff, and it's free.
And the Wanna Beatles are there.
Yes.
You don't want to miss that.
Totally.
Unless you saw the real Beatles, in which you wouldn't. Really care.
Ouch.
Paul's in Memphis.
What?
But
they're such wannabes.
The real Beatles haven't played a show in like how many years, right?
Well, it's a certain demographic.
You need two zombie Beatles of that, too.
I would go see that.
Zombie Beatles?
Hey. Yeah, zombie Beatles.
What? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
TM.
Yeah. That's. You could get so many gigs as zombie Beatles. Yeah. That's.
Brought to you here by the Pop-matic Podcast.
Give brains a chance.
Hey, Professor Brian, that's a good puppet show idea. Zombie Beatles. He's like, no, that's why you're not.
That's why you work upstairs.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, no. You may have noticed that Clint isn't here because our studio is on the fritz.
I'm here.
Get ready to throw down in the booth, though.
So I mentioned this thing called the Digital Public Library of America launched. And what it is, it's a website that aggregates or collects all these collections that are online in different museums and libraries around the country. There's literally like hundreds of them. But instead of them all being separate, it's in one place, so one portal. So you do a search, and anything that's available publicly at museum or library catalogs, you can find there. Like, notably, the Smithsonian is there. Like, all the photographic collections of the Smithsonian is there. So this is super nerdy. I mentioned this was going to be nerdy, right? But they also created an API. So you can actually do things with all of these collections or the data about all the collections to program it different ways, to present it in different ways. So someone created this thing. It's like a timeline river where you put in your search term and automatically creates a timeline of all the different photos that are in the Digital Public Library of America. So there are a lot of different resources like the Digital Public Library of America that are out there that you can go and get really free, good material and sometimes just really entertaining material. We just wanted to highlight some of those and let you know about the Digital Public Library of America and some of the others too, because a few of these things that we're going to talk about today are extremely cool. Like, they are just so awesome. There's so much cool stuff on there. Some of the stuff are the kind of things that you can just waste time on. Other stuff are the kind of things where you can fill a hard drive with really cool media. So, Amanda's going to go first.
Okay, mine's probably not the coolest thing.
It could. Not with that attitude.
I didn't create it. What do I care? But I have used this. It's called the Hathi Trust. It's H-A-T-H-I Trust. It was founded in 2008, kind of with Google, in conjunction with Google Books and Internet Archive. And basically they just have, it's kind of like Google Books, they just have all these searchable full text items. And they've been around, so let's see, that's almost 5 years now. And I had used them for some interlibrary loan searching and for some, they have really good genealogy information if you happen to hit, you know, one of their collections. And they were really hard to use when I was using it back in 2010. Today, when I was using it, it seemed to be a little bit more user-friendly. So hopefully they kind of, you know, took the hint and made it easier to find things, find especially full-text things and not just citations and summaries. So your first fun fact is that Hathi is actually the Hindi word for elephant, and they named it such because elephants are supposedly notorious for their long-term memories. Your second fun fact is that the repository is administered by the University of Michigan and my alma mater, Indiana University, so go Big Ten. And then your third fun fact, when I was playing around today, this is what's cool, is that I actually found a full text, a full book on, and this is the title of the book. It is called The Lives and Bloody Exploits of the Most Noted Pirates, Their Trials and Executions, Including Correct Accounts of the Late Piracies Committed in the West Indies, and the Expedition of Commodore Porter, also those committed on the brig Mexican who were executed at Boston in 1835.
Phew. That's almost as long as that Fiona Apple album.
It is. Yeah, that's where she got her inspiration. And this was published by Ezra Strong in 1836. So, of course, this is a public domain book. I was kind of scrolling through. It does have some interesting pictures. So if you like elephants and pirates, you might check out the Hathi Trust. As of January 2012, it has over 10 million volumes. 2.5 million are public domain. They are searchable by publishers, too, like UM Press has a section, obviously, University of Michigan. So there is stuff that was made in this last, you know, century, so it's not all stuff from 1836. But take a little time, explore, see what you find, and go ride an elephant.
So the Hathi Trust, a little background, is a lot of the large universities that helped Google with the Google Book Digitization Project, and then that project got hampered when Google and the Authors Guild started fighting about how they would work. So a lot of the big universities who had spent thousands of dollars and thousands of man hours, like, what are we going to do with these digitized books? They created this, and now you can go there and find those books if they're publicly available, right? Or at least their citations.
They have an agreement, yeah.
So it's a cool stuff. It's a great resource. That's what you got, Crystal.
All right. So now for something completely different. So most of us work at computers all day, right? Well, as kind of a stimulating, refreshing break for me, I usually check out NASA's astronomy pick of the day, because space is the final frontier, right? So each day, a different image or photograph of our fascinating universe is featured, along with a brief explanation written by a professional astronomer. Sometimes they post videos, too, such as a video simulation of what happens when two galaxies collide. You can sign up by RSS feed, or you can follow them on Twitter. One of my favorite featured items was a live feed of the transit of Venus across the sun. That was last June 5th. And if you didn't take the time to experience it, you missed your chance, because it won't happen again until 2117.
Better get that on my calendar.
That's right. Last fall, there were daily photos concerning the retiring space shuttles. There was a really cool image of the shuttle Enterprise over New York. It had the Statue of Liberty on one side and the Empire State Building on the right. So we can link to at least that one maybe in our show notes. So check it out. Astronomy pick of the day.
If you've run out of cat videos, Astronomy pick of the day isn't a great site, and also like really good desktop backgrounds for your computer or your phone now or whatever you have.
Indeed.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. Good stuff.
I am disappointed you only got 2 Star Trek references in, though. Next time you got to aim for like 5.
Right. There's still room for more.
Here okay, we're not done yet.
Yes, we didn't see... Who saw the new Star Trek movie yet?
I saw it.
I did.
Do you want to talk about it? This is your chance. One sentence review.
It was good.
It's good.
Okay, move on. Okay, so I wanted to talk about Ubu.com, and it is an archive of avant-garde music and film and writing, and it is an absolute treasure trove. It's one of those things that the fact that it exists... just makes me believe that there's hope for humanity and the world. So they just archive text, film, and music from artists around the world. Like, I'm not sure how they determine what they consider avant-garde, but it's just things that they like. And it's all, some of it is just streaming, but most of it is totally downloadable. So it's this huge archive where you can go and just download music and movies from famous artists, or also underground artists too. But in my world, they're all really famous, right? So it works out really great. So if you wanted like a pick where you could go to start, is they have the entire album Discreet Music by Brian Eno, which was Brian Eno's first quote-unquote ambient album. And how he made this music was a synthesizer playing this one little melody over and over again, then it goes into an echo box, then it feeds back into a digital sampler. So it just mutates on its own electronically over and over. And then the second half of that record is variations on Pachelbel's Canon, where he kind of does the same thing that he did with the echo box and the synthesizer and the sampler, but with real musicians. He gives this string ensemble just little pieces of Pachelbel's Canon, this little like chunks of the piece, and then tells them when to change like the melody or the pitch or the tempo. So it just permeates itself the same way that the first half of the music did, but one that's humans doing the permutations, and on the other side it's the machines doing the permutations. This is extremely soothing and beautiful music. The idea was, with ambient music at the time, was it would just be in the room like wallpaper, that you wouldn't notice it. That was his inspiration. So it's a great record. And here's the key to Ubu Web's awesomeness, and this is very typical of their offerings. So Discreet Music was part of a 10 LP set called Obscure Records that Brian Eno put out in the 70s, and it was just basically the records that he wanted to put out, right? And Discreet Music was number 3 in this set. Well, the whole set is on Ubu Web for download. So you don't just get, you get the all 10 records. Like, you can download them all, and just some of the artists on the records: Gavin Bryars, John Adams, David Toop, John Cage, Michael Nyman, Harold Budd. It's basically who's who of avant-garde music in the late 20th century. Though there could be more women, I think, though, on that list. Brian Eno, what's your problem? So that's just an example. But if you just go to Ubu Web and, like, on the left, they sort of have the navigation, and you click sound. Like, so what do you get in sound? So I'm just going to name some of the names that I read off this super long list of names that they have, right? Laurie Anderson, Kenneth Anger, Derek Bailey, J.G. Ballard, Allen Ginsberg, Philip Glass.
Captain Beefheart.
David Grubbs, Lou Harrison, Tim Hecker, Pansonic. So that's just Yoko Ono. These are just the sum. So like any sort of underground music. Cecil Taylor, into jazz, right? That's just the ones I glanced at that I recognize that kind of get me excited. And it just, I mean, there's like 4,000 artists. And if you click on any name, there's like whole pieces, whole records downloadable. It is really, really cool. And that's just the music. They have similar pages for film and text. It is great. I love Ubu Web. It's the best site on the internet. Maybe. Other than Wikipedia, which is...
indispensable.
Indispensable. I'm just going to put this out in the podcast just for debate. This is a rhetorical thing. Wikipedia is the greatest human achievement since like the pyramids. Or maybe electricity. Maybe the internet is the best thing since electricity, and Wikipedia is like the pyramids. Okay, I'm done.
Whoa.
Mike, what you got?
Man, you're throwing me on the mental loop there for a second.
Going down a wormhole.
Like, you know, surely there have been good things since the pyramid. Oh, wait, I got the thing.
Okay, speaking of Star Trek, I've been watching Voyager again. And in Voyager, there's a little girl with a little ridge in her head. I can't remember her name, but she kind of hangs out with 7 and 9. And, like, she's, like, doing things on the ship. Like, I'm manning the helm. And she's, like, 9 years old. Wesley Crusher was manning the helm on the Enterprise and Next Generation. He was 16. He was this big genius. Like, he's such a big genius that he, by the end of the series, he flies off with some alien because he's, like, this hyper-evolved human being. And there's this little 9-year-old girl with a ridge in her head. Like, if she can do what, when she's, like, 9, when Wesley's, like, 16, I mean, she must be, like, cute. I don't get it. Okay, just an observation.
I blame the ridge myself.
Okay.
Let's see. I got Project Gutenberg, which was started in 1971 by Michael S. Hart, a strange hippie. Basically what he did is he took the Declaration of Independence and typed it out and put it on the mainframe computer at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Supposedly this could be the first ebook ever, but it's up for debate. I've heard at least 3 or 4 different, like, you know, creators of the ebook. But anyway, basically the idea is that it's like Wikipedia. It's run by a bunch of volunteers who type out books that are in the public domain, which generally is books that were, you know, published by authors who died before 1923, I think, which means that, like, you know, you can read all of Charles Dickens or something. There are some loopholes, though. Like, there was this science fiction writer from the mid-60s named H. Beam Piper. He wrote Little Fuzzy, which was kind of like if the Europeans had landed in America and the Indians were adorable tribble-type things. They got their own little culture, and, you know, the whole book is basically them trying to figure out if they're, like, actual, you know, they have a culture and they have intelligence, or they're just totes of dorbs and we can kill them all. Anyway, you can get free audiobooks and music files. There's over 42,000 free ebooks that are in many formats, including the EPUB, which are for the Barnes & Noble Nook, and the .Mobi, I believe, for Kindle. Personally, I discovered it when I was a mere teen in the 90s, and reading books on computers wasn't much fun back then, so I kind of, like, put it on the back burner. But then I got an ebook reader a couple of years ago and was very excited to have a plethora of free stuff. And I'll recommend The King in Yellow by Robert W. Chambers, a creepy horror novel that was a influence on H.P. Lovecraft about a play that if you read it, you go insane because you perceive what reality truly is. What's not said is how did the guy write it down in the first place, which is, you know, half of it's very good, half of it's that he skips the cool King in Yellow premise and goes straight for, like, random ghost tales. But the first half is really good and worth a read.
Excellent. That is very Lovecraftian. So we're kind of riffing on science fiction. John Scalzi did a reboot of the H. Beam Piper book.
Oh, yeah, I heard
what
about
was,
that.
What was the title?
The original one was Little Fuzzy, I believe.
I think he just, it was the same story, but just, like, rewritten, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah.
I've heard that the original story is a little outdated in terms of, like, you know, like, all the female characters are not treated very well.
So he can do this big thing about racial genocide, but he's a misogynist. Like, it's funny how we can have those blind spots.
Yeah.
So, Bill.
I want to talk about the website Trailers from Hell. This site was launched in October 2007 by director Joe Dante, and Mr. Dante's film credits include Interspace, Gremlins, and The Burbs. On every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Joe Dante, or one of the gurus, introduce a movie trailer. The movie trailer can be any genre, a classic or an exploitation film. They describe how the film got made and the talent behind the scenes. The gurus who helped Mr. Dante are John Landis, Guillermo del Toro, Stuart Gordon, Roger Corman, Alan Spencer, Brian Trenchard-Smith, and it's just a fun website. If you love movies, and who doesn't, I highly recommend Trailers from Hell.
That is a super fun site.
It is a super fun site.
Of all the things we've talked about, that's, like, the least nerdy. I mean, it is nerdy in its own way, but it's the most fun.
Pirates are nerdy.
What's been your favorite Trailer from Hell so far?
Well, I tell you, the I put him in here. Alan Spencer, you know, I wanted you to, that Theater of Blood, he talked about that, and it's very philosophical. Now, he's a comedy writer, and he does a lot of script doctoring, but his commentaries, and he's just started, he's brand new, and he did a whole week on Marty Feldman. He was a good friend of Marty Feldman, talked about what an anarchist he was, and just highly informative. Also, Stuart Gordon did a great commentary on Cannibal Holocaust. He talked about how he met the director, and he started out by saying, you've heard that this director couldn't get arrested in Hollywood, but the director of A Cannibal Holocaust did, because the film was so real that they thought he had actually killed people making the movie. Wow. And he had to show, literally go into an Italian court and show how they did the effects and stuff. So quite fascinating, but like I say, it's just a fun site, and that's where I'm, before I do paging slips, that's what I'm doing every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Do patrons know what paging slips are? Library patrons, when you put a hold on an item, we get this little slip that basically tells us what to go pull off the shelf.
Hence the name paging slip.
I don't know.
That could be just a clever nickname.
It means something else entirely.
Yeah.
So those are just a few things, but there are a lot more places where you could go to find stuff for free on the internet. And I just don't want to overlook some of the local ones. So the types of collections that the Digital Public Library of America aggregates together, well, of course, Nashville Public Library has its own. So we have our own digital collection. If you go to Local History and Info on our website, it's right there, digital collections, and you can search all of our digital collections and things that we have. We have oral histories and flood documents and the Albert Hadley collection with all his interior design sketches, all kinds of stuff. So we do that here, and it's great because we're talking about these sort of international ones, and you know, we have our local collections too, which are great. I kind of wanted to hit on a few other things. One is the Free Music Archive, which Crystal can tell you more about.
Well, I can't speak like an expert, but it is curated for the most part, right? You can submit your music there, but there are different entities that post things like WFMU. There's CBC3, that's a Canada radio station. And what else do we want to say about Free Music Archive?
I want to
other
say
other than
the archive of free music.
Yes,
archive of free music. Right.
So Free Music Archive has mostly contemporary music and live shows, but it has older music too, and it is just, it's one of those things like UbiWeb, which is great. You just log on there and there's all this free music that you, most of it you can download, some of it you can just stream. It is, I think it's and administered by WFMU. I think it's, it was like this, that their collection kind of seeded the collection. So just go there and do a search. But what did you find on the Free Music Archive?
Well, in particular, I thought I would look for some old-time or historical recordings. I'm a Kentucky girl, so I thought, let me see if there's any recordings of my old Kentucky home. And I found two, and one of them was by Al Jolson, and the other was an antique phonograph recording. So that kind of warmed my heart to hear those. And what else did I find? Roger McGuinn, who you may know from The Birds. He's got a lot of stuff on there. And the Go Tell It on the Mountain. I like some of these old folk songs, old hymns. Skip to My Lou. So that's worth checking out, too. Deer Hunter, I'm a fan of that band. They've got some stuff on there.
So that's a total shift from everything you were describing.
I know.
But that's actually, I mean, that's where I wanted you to go.
Right.
So, I mean, the old stuff is on there, too. But then there's, like, really cool contemporary stuff on the Free Music Archive. So.
Quintron, I'm not a fan, but I know there are a lot of people in Nashville that are. I found some stuff, some recordings of theirs on there.
There's some Black Dice on there, too. Is that what you got?
That's what I got.
So the other kind of book depository, this isn't really like an archive, but it's a good place for books, is Smashwords. And that's a place where people can upload their own digital books, you know, and you can pay for them if you want. Or there's also free. And what we were discussing, when 50 Shades of Grey was really hot, I always wanted to mention this site and I could never remember it, but it's Smashwords. And if anyone uploads their books for free, like you can go and just download their books for free, or sometimes people set their prices really low, so you can download books for really cheap, and you can go to charts. You can, it's almost like an online ebook community where you sign up and then you can see like what the charts are, like what's selling on Smashwords and what's not. I can remember too, whenever 50 Shades of Grey was really popular, I was like, listen, if you want like badly written like erotica, you can go to Smashwords. You can get like 10 gigs of it for free.
It's so, probably fanfic there too, just as much as anything
else. You know, if you wanted a place too to upload your book, if you don't like Amazon's terms, like you could go to Smashwords and check out what their terms were. So there's a good ebooks on there too. Another place that I kind of wanted to mention was Open Library, which is sort of like a Wikipedia, but imagine a library catalog. And all the books that are in Project Gutenberg are in Open Library. So you can log into Open Library and add books if you know are real. It is a really cool site to check out. One of the other big ones that I wanted to talk about, which I think is the inspiration for the Digital Public Library of America, is Europeana, which is basically the Digital Public Library of Europe. It works the same way, only you seem to get more content if you do a search there. So that exists. And the really big one that I'm saving for last because it's so good is the Internet Archive. And I think the name kind of says it all. And it is so big and so vast and collects so many great things. The Internet Archive started as a place to just save like old web pages that were good or information on the web that was good, but now it just archives publicly available video, music, TV, lectures, concerts, and there's curated collections, and then there's also you can upload your own things to it. And I know that whenever I did searches at the Digital Public Library of America for authors that I liked, I think much like Crystal, I got pictures of the authors, copyrighted pictures of the authors with a lot of very techie, archival, library-type information about the picture. When I did searches for authors that I like at the Internet Archive, I got lectures that the authors gave, completely downloadable to own for free. So I think that kind of tells the difference. I can't express to you how amazing the Internet Archive is. There's so much great music and TV shows and movies on there. I think in the previous podcast I talked about if you want a public domain movie, the ones that are on YouTube are terrible. But the versions that are uploaded to Internet Archive are often high def, and you can download them totally for free. You don't have to stream them. If you want to download them, you can. It's a great, great site. I enjoy it a lot. Anyone want to say anything else about the Digital Public Library of America?
May it live long and prosper.
May I, you know?
Kobayashi Maru.
I think it's a... I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
That was in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. That was the test that Kirk cheated on. To pass the...
Test can't be.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But I
okay, but you still owe me one Star Trek reference. We're only up to four.
I was going to say that the Digital Public Library of America is a really good idea, but I think that they have some usability issues. And what's
here's that too?
Here's one of the things that I see: the resources that we talked about today that were made by librarians are hard to use. So like HathiTrust, Digital Public Library of America, it's just like you go in there and it's like you're not getting materials easily. There's all these walls. Some of these other archives that were not made by librarians, that were made just by people that wanted to preserve things and make them available. So the Internet Archive and Ubu Web and the Free Music Archive, amazing. You go there, you do a search, it's awesome, and you can download it. So I hope that the Digital Public Library of America succeeds, but...
I found there was a distinct lack of books. When I think of public library... I think of books, and it seemed like a lot of, you know, pictures. And
well, I think there's the idea is there's a lot of like original source material, so it's very much special collections esque, which is that's kind of weird too, because it seems like archival things tend to be in the Digital Public Library of America, but if you go to the Internet Archive, it's like, hey, 10 live shows from my favorite band, all for free, or like my favorite TV show here is for free. So that is what it is. That's all I got. Tickle my fancy. I'm going to go first since this is kind of related. So there's this new movie out. It's called TPBA. AFK, and that means the Pirate Bay, away from keyboard. And since we're talking about these digital archives of things, and everything we talked about today is legal. Now, the Pirate Bay is notorious for people uploading illegal things, and this is a new documentary about it, and it's Creative Commons license, so it's free to share. And I'll have the website where you can go to stream it for free, and if you want to pay to download it, you can. Now, it's licensed in such a way that once you get a copy of it, you can do what you want to with it. So if you use a file sharing site like Pirate Bay, you could search for this movie and it will be there. Or it's also been uploaded to YouTube because the license is such, they want people to share it. But if you want to support the filmmakers, you can go to the website and buy a copy of the movie. Or, you know, or pay for a license just to support them. And I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I just learned that it just is out. How it came through my blogosphere was Hollywood movie companies are issuing DMCA takedowns of the movie, even though it is a Creative Commons licensed movie. But I think it is biased in the direction of the Pirate Bay people. And it's in Swedish, so there's English subtitles. The Pirate Bay used to live in Sweden. I don't know if anyone knows where it lives anymore. So
it's a pirate.
Should I say what the Pirate Bay is? Does everyone know?
I could say it for our listeners.
What?
You say it for our listeners.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Is it a torrent, like file sharing
thing? It's a file sharing website that's notorious for not caring. Right? So.
I thought they were in the Netherlands. That could be wrong.
Now they're in the Netherlands?
As far as I've heard.
Because they were in Sweden, and the documentary is about how long they lasted in Sweden and how they eventually ran into trouble. Okay. So. But what you got, Amanda?
I am currently listening to Beauty Queens by Libba Bray. I don't know, Crystal, have you read this one?
I haven't, but I can see the cover.
Yeah, this is the first audiobook that I've ever wished that I could have read. Like, not written, just read the audio. Basically, it's a story about a plane of beauty queens from the Miss Teen Dream pageant that crashes on a desert island, and then hilarity ensues. So basically, it's Miss Congeniality meets Lost. There is a government conspiracy, so just in case you were wondering, that is there. What makes it really fun is Libba Bray, the author, actually reads the book. And she does some great beauty queen accents for all her different characters. So it's just, it's typically what you know, there's a girl from Texas and, you know, she's trying to keep the girls on their dance routines. And, you know, there's the token African-American who does Nigerian drumming. And there's a young lady from India who makes papadam like her grandmother taught her in their, you know, Indian kitchen. So I'm not a huge fan of, you know, the plane crash on the desert islandness of it, but I have to say I'm really enjoying this book. It's hilarious. It's sarcastic. It's everything you could want in an audiobook. So if you're looking for a new book, try Libba Bray. They are for young adults, but anyone of any age would enjoy it.
Our colleague AJ, librarian here, she was a big fan of that book.
Yeah. I can see why.
All right. I'll be really quick about the tickling my fancy. I've got two things. From time to time, I tune into the Sound Opinions podcast from WBEZ Chicago, hosted by Jim DeRogatis and Greg Kott. A recent episode featured an interview with Joy Division New Order's Peter Hook, and he's talking about his book, Unknown Pleasures, Inside Joy Division. So if you're a fan, you should definitely check out the book from the library and listen to the Sound Opinions podcast. And the other thing that's still tickling my fancy is Hannibal. Please tune in. Go to the website on NBC. Visit Brian Fuller's website. I do not want my favorite TV show to get canceled, so help me out. That's it.
You're not allowed to say anything, Bill. You said you weren't going to say anything.
Okay.
So you can't endorse Hannibal. What's happening, Mike?
Well, I got a rare instance where the movie was a dumbed-down version of the book, yet they both work really well. The book/movie is called The Ministry of Fear. The book is written by Graham Greene. It tells the story of a guy named Arthur Rowe who goes to a fair and wins a cake made from real eggs. This is a huge deal because it's set during the Blitz where there's a lot of shortages. So this whole real eggs thing was like, after a while, I was just like, giggle, giggle, real eggs, giggle. But eventually, oh no, it turns out this delicious treat holds a deadly secret, which I won't tell because that'd be no fun. But the book is really kind of dark and gloomy. Like, Rowe himself is like really depressed, like clinically depressed. Green never comes out and says it, but it seems kind of obvious. Like, he doesn't have any friends or family and just kind of spends his time moping.
That's every Graham Greene protagonist.
Pretty much. Personally, it has a lot more to do with, like, memory and, like, redemption and stuff, and less about, like, a spy thriller, especially since the bad guys are, like, painfully obvious. At least, you know, I thought so. I thought it was really good and very kind of, like, you know. But if you're in the mood for a more lighter thing, the movie was released a year later in 1944, starring Ray Milland and directed by Fritz Lang, the guy who directed M and Metropolis. And while it's similar, it's more of like a film noir. Like, both the main character in the movie and the book have, like, a dark event in their past that, you know. And in the book, it made him, like, super depressed. In the movie, it's, like, it's there, but it's not, like, a, you know, it's a plot twist towards the middle, but it's not, you know, it's not, like, the defining event, I think, in his character. He seems to be more, like, take charge and, you know, there's a femme fatale that was not in the book. like, the elderly matron who reads his poem at the fair suddenly turns into a much more attractive woman halfway through the film for some reason. Anyway.
I want to make a hottie trust joke, but I don't know where to fit.
Oh, yeah.
I've been saving that the whole time.
That's too nerdy even for us.
During the puppet thing, I wanted to say something about pulling strings, like, the entire time. Yeah, I thought the only gloom in this one's more like due to, like, Lang's, like, use of shadow. I thought it was really good, but, you know, in a different way. And it just came out from the Criterion Collection. Checked it out from here, and it's really good. They're both good in different ways.
Hey, you've been listening to the Popmatic Podcast, and you can get more information at
www.library.asheville.org.
And what can you do if you don't want to type that, Bill?
Go to Google and type in Asheville Public Library.
All right.
Or Bing it, or your choice.
I would use, well, never mind. It's not important.
Web crawler.